Good morning.
Good
morning. Are you sure? Such a blessing to be able to gather together on this Lord's Day to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, we live in a world of distraction. Everywhere we look, we're distracted by noises. We're distracted by our phones, by our electronics. We're distracted by all the busyness that happens. And then you throw on top of that the constant worries that we have each and every day. We struggle. That brings to mention a lot of times we go through life. We go through every day on autopilot. You know, I always bring this out to some of the clients that I see in the fact that there are times where in each day, we don't have to think about what we're doing. We just do it. It's like riding a bike. It's like we know how to ride a bike. And so when we're riding a bike, we don't have to think about riding the bike. And so what happens? Our mind goes. Our mind goes to the worries. It goes to all the distractions. It goes to the busyness of life. And in these situations, we end up reacting rather than responding. We end up speaking rather than listening and doing rather than being. When we think about our spiritual walk, we can get caught up in doing for God rather than being with God. And when you really think about it, the spiritual mindset, it's important. As we go through each day, our spiritual mindset, it's not a trend. It's not something that is here today and gone tomorrow. It is a discipline. You don't just become a Christian and automatically become the best person when it comes to setting our mind at God all day. By the way, is that possible? Is it possible to remain focused on God every day, at every point? In Psalm 46, verse 10, it'll be up on the screen. It's very short. Be still and know that I am God. The psalmist wrote that to the Israelites. And if you think about it, we just studied the book of Deuteronomy. And in that study, we learned that God was present with His people. All throughout the time, all throughout the wandering in the wilderness, God was with them. He showed Himself by a pillar of fire. He showed Himself by a cloud. He was with Moses on the mountain in a burning bush. God instructed His children to set up the tabernacle so that they could evidence, so that they could see whether or not He was with them. And He sanctified it, and He said that they are to come to Him and to give. So that not because they need to sacrifice, but that they could be with Him, that they could share time together. When we look at this verse, it's not just a suggestion. Be still and know that I am God. It's an invitation. It's a command to quiet the noise and remember who God is. Think about that. Who is God? What does He mean to us right here, right now? That's what we're talking about. To define spiritual mindset, I've put together the definition. It is the practice of being fully present to God, to ourselves, and to others. It's being attentive to God, to His presence, to his love, to all that he continually does for us. It means paying attention in the present moment. It means observing our thoughts and our emotions without judgment. It's about bringing everything into God's presence. It is not about emptying your mind. You know, we also, in with the clients that I see on a day in, day out basis, we talk about mindfulness. And mindfulness is not what we're talking about. In mindfulness, you have to empty your mind. You have to sometimes detach from the reality that's going on, or to detach from the emotions and become grounded in the present moment. It's almost a meditative type of state. But the spiritual mindset, it's about becoming deeply aware, not of the nothingness, but of God's nearness. How close are we to our Father? We talk about relationship and how close of a relationship we are to others in our life. Well, how close are we to God? How important is that relationship to us? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter wrote there, casting all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. God is a God who is near. He is a God who is present in our lives, who wants to be recognized, who wants to be loved, who wants to be worshiped. This is a spiritual mindset where, for the New Testament Christian, Jesus is at the center. Now, I want to look at some biblical foundations for this thought this morning. In Psalm 46, verse 10, we saw, "Be still and know that I am God." We're talking about stillness. We're talking about an awareness. Acknowledging God's sovereignty, not just intellectually, but as we experience life. As we go throughout the day, it's being aware that he is near, that he is in our steps as we go throughout the day. When we look at Jesus' example, Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." This was a very common thing that Jesus did. We read about it all throughout the New Testaments when Jesus would go from here to there. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 tells us that he withdrew into the wilderness and prayed often. Jesus made it a practice that he did. It was for why? To be with the Father. To have silence. To be attentive. His life modeled what it means to live in the moment in God's presence. Jesus is the perfect example of how we need to live each and every day. I want to draw our attention now to some of Paul's writings. And we're going to look at these step by step. So turn to in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We'll start in Romans. You know, this is after Acts of the Apostles, when Jesus told the apostles to go out and preach the word, to baptize the nations, to teach them all the things that he had commanded them. The apostles went. And so the various different letters that are written after that are to the places they went, where the church was established, where those who were obedient to the gospel lived. And so we find Paul writing to each of those congregations, or rather some of them. But in chapter 12, Romans 12, and we're going to look specifically at verse 2, but I got to start in verse 1. So he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and perfect. Or rather, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul, right here to the church in Rome, one of the things that we see him very often doing is relating to a change of mind, to a renewing of mind that goes with the walk that a Christian is to take. So here he says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not fit the mold that the world gives. Do not look at the Jones down the street and say, I want to be just like them. Don't do that. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now when we look over to, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians. So he writes to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start verse 3. Oftentimes, Paul was very rough with the church in Corinth, we think. And he was. But not just the church in Corinth. Paul didn't pull punches. He preached the truth. He told them what they needed to hear. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He says, as we live, as we walk in this world, we do not do things according to worldly precepts. We don't do it. He says instead, we bring those thoughts. We have to be very careful not to let some of the thoughts that we think out. We have to take them into captivity. Why? To the obedience of Christ. What does Jesus want? What does God want? Does he want us doing the things or some of the things that come through our mind? Not all the time. Why do you think Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, told people, do not worry about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, the clothes you'll wear? Don't worry about those things. Why? God knows you need them. God is present. He is willing. And he will care for us. And so as we go throughout our life, as we're living our life, we need to not rely on all the negative thoughts, all the worldly thoughts that enter our mind. Because those are carnal. That's walking according to the flesh. Instead, we have to bring the thoughts into captivity. Now, my favorite one, Galatians chapter 5. And we see Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all kind of lumping together in the same mindset as far as walking according to the Spirit and not fulfilling the deeds of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he goes about and he starts listing the deeds of the flesh. The works of the flesh. These are the carnal things. These are all the things that we do as humans. And he says, but this is not what is supposed to happen. We are to love, right? We are to walk by the Spirit. We are to put on the fruit of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says, against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I will confess that there are lots of times when I have looked at this passage in the past and I say, this is impossible. It would be impossible to live like God wants us to live. But is it? Is it impossible? Jesus did it. It's not impossible, because if it was impossible, it wouldn't be here. It wouldn't be in what we're reading right here in the Bible. That God wants us to live a certain way. And that way that we're talking about is going through our days, day in, day out, not with carnal things on our mind, not with the worldly things on our mind, but with Him on our mind. He is to be the focus. He is to be present in our thoughts. If He's present in our thoughts, that means He's walking, He's with us. Look over the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start down at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now, the Gentiles were anyone who wasn't a Jew. And they were known as heathens. But as we know in the book of Ephesians, Paul's trying to teach them that there's a mystery to this all, and that God had intended for everyone, Gentiles and Jews, to be under his hand and to be saved. So he says, do not walk any longer as the rest of the Gentiles, in the futility of their mind. Futility of their mind. What is futility? Worthless. It's worthless thoughts. Futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. See, these are all worldly conditions. He doesn't stop there. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. They've become professional worldly livers. Who past feeling, it's the idea of calloused. When you get a callous, it's almost desensitized. You don't feel it. So sin doesn't pain you anymore. Living as the world lives doesn't harm you any longer. And he says that all these things, whether it's ignorance, whether it's alienation, whether it's blindness, whether it's unfeeling, or just simply giving yourself over to anything and everything in this world, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. You're different. You know better, Paul says. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We want God with us. We want God with us. And Paul says you have to be renewed. Renewing isn't just about becoming a Christian by being obedient to the gospel, by being buried in water, although those things are necessary. Being renewed has to also begin here in our minds. It's a constant process, but it must take place. Without the renewal, we're still the old man. Nothing changes. Our relationship with God that happened before is still the same. Paul says, get rid of it. Philippians chapter 4. We'll start back at verse 6. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Those are all good, positive terms, right? So we've got noble or true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, notice what he says, meditate on these things. Your translation might say think. Same idea. So, as we go about life, Paul says, where our mind is set matters. What we think about day in, day out matters, because what's it tell us? It tells us who we are. It tells us whose we are. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, if you've become a Christian, if you've been buried in water for the forgiveness of sins, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. How we live every day, the things that we do every day, where our mind is set, the body is going to follow. You ever heard that saying that where the head goes, the body follows? Where our mind is set, the rest of our body will follow. Our life stays on that course. So Paul says here that we made a decision. We were obedient to him. And so if we're obedient to him, we need to seek the things where he is. Where's he at? Is he on earth? No, he's with God. He's in heaven. That's where our minds need to be. If we're worried about life, if we're worried about the different things that affect us on a daily basis, then we are certain to fall. But if our mind is set on him, we don't have to worry. We don't have to have any struggles, because one thing we do know is life is going to be challenging. There are going to be persecutions. There are going to be afflictions. There are going to be health problems. That's the world. That's our frail bodies. So when we talk about having a spiritual mindset, again, it's not just a trend. It's about being continuously focused on God's awareness or on his presence so that we can surrender it to him. I want to look at some differences between spiritual and physical mindset. We have the physical mindset that it's traditionally focused on breath or body. So you want to regulate the emotions. You want to regulate the body. It's very self-centered at times, and it encourages detachment. I don't want to be a part of what's going on in my life, so I'm going to step out and step away. However, the Christian mindset is a focus on God's presence. The goal is to have communion with God, to be Christ-centered and Spirit-guided. The Christian mindset encourages holy engagement in life. So we're thinking about what we do, the things that we say. Are we holy? Are we being pure? Are we doing the things that God asks us to do? Spiritual mindset sees the present moment as sacred because God is in it. So, four reasons why why we need to practice spiritual mindset. Number one, to gain more knowledge of God, to know him deeply. You know, as I mentioned before, you know, people say, well, you know, I have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with Jesus. Okay. How far does that relationship go? Does he walk with you? Does he talk with you? Is he in your mind? Is he on your lips? You see, there are many examples in the scriptures of those who knew God. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. Enoch had a relationship with God. There are many prophets whom we know, who we've read of, who were chosen because of their walk, because they knew God. Number two, to become more like Christ. We look at Jesus as our example. We have to. He's the proof it can be done because he can sympathize with our weaknesses, because he was tempted in all things, yet he was without sin. Yeah, he was deity. Yeah, he was God in the flesh. But everything that he went through in life shows his humanity, shows that he can definitely know what we go through. When we practice spiritual mindset, we have true repentance, true transformation, and we bear fruit. Number three, why practice spiritual mindset? To love others more fully. You can't love well if you're distracted. If my mind is thinking about all the worries, if my mind is thinking about all the struggles that I go through on a daily basis, then I can't serve others the way that God wants me to. So we've got to end the distraction. And then number four, why practice spiritual mindset? To experience peace. As we noted, the world's going to have its problems. We are in the world. We are going to have problems. We're going to have health problems. We're going to go through afflictions. We're going to have persecutions. We're going to have all those things. There is no peace, but we have peace with God. And in our relationship, when God is close, when we become more and more like Christ and we love others more fully, we experience a peace that passes understanding. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Write this down. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Did you catch that? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When we trust in God, it is seen by the fact that our mind is always on him. What was the whole point of God being with the Israelites as they went through the wilderness wanderings? What was the whole point? Every time we see it, God says, you know, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, and you don't acknowledge anything. You don't trust in me. God wants us to trust and obey. That's what he wants. You will keep him in perfect peace. You want peace with God? Stay focused on him. Because it shows our absolute trust to him that we have in him. I want to give you something. Again, I know that this isn't Christian or isn't mindfulness training, isn't anything like that. But a lot of times people say, well, how in the world can I do that? How can I keep my mind focused on him all the time? I mean, it's difficult enough. There are times it's like, man, I forgot to pray. Missed out on that. Oh, I forgot to open the Bible, read God's word. Oh, I forgot to call sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so to have a little bit of fellowship. We miss it. So how do we keep that mindset? Well, one thing that might help, when you do your prayer, find a nice quiet spot. That's what Jesus did, place of solitude. Sitting in perfect peace. Do some breathing with it. And I want you to use the fact of as you breathe in, you say, here I am. And as you breathe out, you say, Lord. Do that again and again and again just to focus on what you're saying. Or when you're doing and going through your other prayer. What I do a lot of times in worship is, as someone's up here praying, I will, in my mind, repeat the words that they're saying. And that's to keep me present. If we want to stay present with God, we have to do things that keep us present. Spiritual mindset is not an escape. It's a deepening of life. It helps us slow down to see with our spiritual eyes and to walk closer with Jesus. In John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus told his apostles, abide in me and I in you. You cannot bear fruit unless you are part of the vine. This is what we're talking about. Abiding with the Father, abiding with his Son, and abiding with the Holy Spirit. We do that every day, but it has to start with the right mind. So maybe you're here this morning, you're going through struggles in your life. Or maybe you're like me. Struggle all the time with my walk. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect until we meet him. Then we'll have it all together. Then we'll know all the answers, because right now we don't. Whatever the needs are, maybe you need to put him on this morning in baptism to walk a new life, to be focused on him, to be walking in his presence, whatever the need is, now's the time to come while we stand and sing.